Oh, we're good to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's panel.
Thank you for showing up. Indie Island turns 20. I put together mostly photos just to have something visual to look like, since we are a visual medium.
Mm-hmm.
But the people on the panel today are Dustin Harbin.
Thank you. You're too kind.
So Dustin's art up there for the T-shirt. What year was that? 2013. Yeah. And then J. Chris Campbell.
Look at that young boy up there.
Yeah.
2004. This is pre-Indie Island.
Yes. Look at that.
And then myself, Chris Pitzer.
Yes, Chris Pitzer.
I've changed a bit.
Yeah, you look prettier in those pictures, yeah. Both of you.
What's happened with age?
So the reason, I mean, other than Indie Island being 20 years, the reason we're on this panel is because supposedly we created Indie Island.
We did.
I thought I created it. You two were part of this?
Well, I did a lot of the work.
Okay.
I thought that I created it, but didn't do any of the work,
okay.
Is what I thought.
As I recall, this is my recollection.
Yes.
So we can compare, because probably there'll be, this is like Rashomon.
You're right.
Like a very boring Rashomon there. As you guys probably know, Heroes Con is a very superhero-oriented show. That's not a positive or a negative. It's just like how the show is. And we are indie-oriented people. And the indie sales were terrible because the indie creators would be kind of here or there. And Chris, in the very Chris Pitzer way, a very nice person, but was also like, you know what would be great? And maybe the two of you had talked about it. And then one of you came to me and were like, hey, what if, and brought up the idea of having a section that was all the indie people together. And as I recall, I was like, I'm a very negative person. I was like, that won't work unless it's like up front. Because otherwise it'll be a ghetto. Like it'll be
nobody will come there.
For people
right.
to avoid. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you put it by the bathroom, it's just a place where all the sad people in the room will be together, yes.
Yeah.
But
strength in numbers.
Even sadder.
Yeah.
And so, and then I went to Shelton and was like, what if we did this? And he was like, okay. Because in 2005, I think that was early on me being more of a showrunner, and Shelton, and I was managing the shop, and Shelton just kind of let me do things. And I mean, people that work with me know I'm a micromanaging prima donna too. So it was like, I would just run with it, but then I wouldn't let anyone help me or anything.
Right.
And so it worked out and he's just let it keep going since then. So he gets some of the credit.
Yeah, no, Shelton definitely gets credit on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my recollection is we were back in a corner in this photo, in a corner under a soffit. And you
What's
see
a soffit?
Like the overhang.
Oh, God.
Like the ceiling, the fake ceiling. So you were in shadow and you'd see, you know, possible customers walking your way. And this is pre-Indie Island, walking your way. And they do this slow, gradual turn. So they don't even make it to your table. So it was abysmal sales.
You could probably see the thirsty way you were staring.
Right. That was it too. But we've got, let me get the laser pointer out.
Oh.
So pre-Indie Island, we've got Sam Anderson, Magic Whistle.
I forgot that he's been.
Charles Brownstein, CBLDF.
Oh.
Rob Ullman. And then you see my Ad House banners back there. And then J. Chris was this way. And that's what the previous photo was from that same year.
Yeah. Were you publishing, was it,
Zigzag? We had a Telstar banner and Pulpitune, so we were probably up to Telstar.
So
this was 04, right?
Wait, was it Zigzag was your?
Zigzag is J. Chris's, but that wouldn't have been out yet.
No.
Yeah, but that's the one you published, right?
Yep.
Ad House published it, yeah. Here's a sample.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Ta-da.
I couldn't remember if that was your Ad House book or one of your minis that was called
there
Zigzag.
It is.
Yeah, it's the Ad House book one. This was because I was doing mini comics, which is the whole thing. Everybody, when we were going to SPX and doing different shows like Fluke, you would see all these creators making things that you would not see at a regular comic convention because you, you know, everyone's doing superhero or trying to do superhero work. So we were somehow all crowded over there that year. Jim Mafu was
with your child,
an indie creator for sure, who came to the shows because he also did superhero stuff. So he was definitely one of the first kind of people I think that you got to lock in.
Well, this is year one, right? 2005, and he's showing up, so that's great, right?
Yeah.
To inaugurate Indie Island.
Yeah, who else was there that year? Lambert and was Chuck
Horseman
there
that year?
I feel like no.
Andy Runton was there. Yeah. There's Andy Runton.
Look at baby Andy Runton.
Yeah. And then
this is my
your Hurtin' Crew,
right?
Hurtin' Crew.
Yeah.
Oh, and here we are. This is what I want to talk about.
I've got a beef.
It's a fantastic story, and I love it.
All right.
Do you want me to tell it, or do you want to tell it?
I don't know what story you're about.
Oh, it's 2008. I
have some negatives on 2008, so go ahead.
No, well, that's it. It's beautifully negative. It's 2005 is the first Indie Island. And then, like, inch into 2006, slow step into 2007, you're like, screw it. I'm inviting everyone indie that I can.
It's true.
And it resulted in just a weird show.
Well, let me tell you my recollection. Point, counterpoint.
Yeah.
2008, 2006, 2005, Indie Island started. 2006, we had the Wizard year.
It was the same weekend?
Yeah, and there was a big war.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I quit after that year because I was totally burnt out. Like, we spent the whole year getting ready for that because the fight started 9 months early. And then, like, Warren Ellis was like, I'll bloody come. There's a zillion people to wrangle. And so the 2006 was a really hard year. Turned out great. I said, Shelton, I'm giving my notice. I'm going to go work for whatever I did that next year. And then immediately came back like a year later. By 2008, I invited the Kramers guys. So Sammy came, Jordan Crane came.
Anyone in indie alternative comics, I felt like, was there.
Gilbert and Jaime were there.
Was Mario there that year?
Mario was there that year, all three Los Bros. And so they all came, and then they all did... Can we cuss on this panel? I don't work here anymore.
Adam will bleep it up.
They all did shitty sales. This is a thing that, and also there's a bunch of webcomics people came that year.
Okay.
And maybe in 2007 as well. And the thing, and this isn't, it's part of living in the South too. And if a bunch of people that are from LA and New York and DC come to our smaller comics community, Charlotte doesn't really have a big creative, like there is a cartooning community, but it's small. And there isn't a college in town, so it's not being, I mean, there is, but it's 30 minutes away.
Right.
UNCC. There isn't like
it's not supporting the creatives.
Constantly renewing group of people, like young people that are competing with each other and bouncing off each other. Like if you go to Athens, where there's SCAD, or if you go to, Savannah, where there's SCAD, or if you go to Athens, where there's UGA, and you go to... a lot of towns that have a college, they have a strong creative community. And so the people that come to Heroes Con are interested in superhero comics. And the people that would do well in sales at other places did terrible here. Now, year over year, they would slowly climb. Like Alex.
Right, you got to build your clientele, build your customer base.
But Sammy Harkham, who is at the time being nominated for every award for Kramers, and he's like, I think, a truly great cartoonist. He'd be like, man, this is depressing. I've shipped so much stuff. And that is a real, he was right. That's a concern.
It was too many fish in the pond, you know?
And so we would try, especially the web comics guys who are all buddies, or like Jordan and Steve, it's like, we can't afford to give you both hotel rooms, but could I give you one hotel room that you share? the webcomics people, I could pack like six of them in the room because they're all like, they're all hustlers.
And they're all skinny.
And they're all buddies. They're all used to each other. But even so, it'd be like, I'm going to, like Kaz Strepik.
Yeah.
Probably sold, he had a great time that year, but he probably sold next to no comics because people, I don't know if you guys have read The Morning Star by Kaz, one of my favorite comics. I don't think he makes them anymore, but there's two volumes of The Morning Star that Bodega published?
Yeah, or distributed at least, yeah. They might have published it.
So good.
Yeah, they're good.
But
I put this photo in here because I wanted to propose it's the best convention photo ever taken.
I was standing right outside this photo.
Oh, man.
While it was being taken because Kaz Strepik, he was so excited all weekend. There's probably 1,000 photos of him posing with Green Lantern or with someone in a Transformers.
So he loved his cosplay.
He had the best time. It was very fun. Like Maris Wicks might have been there that year and Joe Quinones.
So you can't really see that well. So this is Kaz, Speed, Trixie, Racer X. This is Tim Hodler, who was publisher of the comics, not publisher, editor of the Comics Journal at the time, right?
Was he editor of the Comics Journal?
Yeah, I think he was. And then this is Dan Nadell, who just released the Crumb biography.
Right. Also Comics Journal.
Yeah, also Comics Journal editor. You can't see it, but take my word. Andrew Neil is right back here. Mm-hmm. Over here, Laura Park, laughing her ass off. And then right beside her, Julia Worth. So isn't that a great photo of 2008 Indie Island?
I really forgot that all those people were in the background.
Yeah,
Do you have the Tim Hodler photo from that year?
Yeah, we're coming up to that.
So
that's part of this whole story. But
it's not a culture clash, it's a sales clash. It's a clash of kind of a fish out of water thing. So one of the pluses of Indie Island is like, well, if we're all fish out of water, we can make common cause, but also it is a struggle. It's still a struggle. It's probably less of a struggle now because the show is so big and people have acclimated and people like me sell mostly prints.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to mention, that even though HeroesCon was very superhero centric, the people coming appreciated artists and artwork.
Yeah,
and
they love original art.
Original art was, so you had people looking at artist stuff that wouldn't normally at other conventions are just there to, look around at junk. So you had a huge group of people that were looking for art that we kind of threw a wrench in, like curveball of, wait, here's some other type of art that's not just what you're used to. So that's one of the big things, I think, that was like a shift that happened there.
It's a Smirnoff ad.
Do you know the story about this?
No.
I brought this Shagadelic Shaker this year and was showing it off like in the lobby. And somehow...
So the idea that you were showing it off makes it sound like
cool. Look at this cool thing.
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand because it doesn't look very cool.
It's totally cool. Okay. Look at that thing.
Okay, you know what? Go
baby?
Ahead. I'll let you finish.
Okay. Well, anyway, so this shaker birthed a marriage. That is how Adam met his future wife.
Who? And what's her name?
Sean. So I like that was part of like
Smirnoff.
The thing, that was just extra stuff.
But the one thing, the shaker though, the time, it wasn't it like 5 years old? Or
yeah, it was outdated. It was on sale. It was a cheap shaker.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
So it was like.
This is why I was like, well, when you say showing off, what is it?
Showing
mean?
People how cool this shaker is.
Look at this cool shaker.
Hey, have you guys ever seen a movie called Austin Powers?
No, it was just a cool like thing, I thought. I just wanted to wait a party.
Yeah.
But Dustin mentioned Tim Hodler's photo, and part of this was like, I need to find Tim Hodler's photo. And it's like a picture of Tim.
This is one of the great photos.
Very disgruntled. And
especially
I did the search.
Especially if you know Tim Hodler.
And this is the photo I'm talking about. you'll see it's a photo by Whit Spurgeon, which tied into him taking photographs for his brother, Tom Spurgeon.
The comics reporter.
The comics reporter.
Our friend.
Our friend. And so,
rest in peace, died in 2019?
It feels like...
It was right before COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 2019.
But one of the things I wanted to do was just go through really quick and... Because Tom was an excellent writer, one of my favorite writers. And he wrote about that 2008 show. So I'll be quick.
Go, please.
Turn
your Bibles to... Yeah.
It also seemed like an extremely tough place to sell art comics. Business at the three big hardcore art comics book locations, Picture Box, Bodega Distribution, and Buenaventura Press, was gallows humor-inducing, slow all weekend. Ad House and Sparkplug did a bit better. Mark Asenault's Wild Cool did very little business. Top Shelf seemed to do okay, but maybe only okay, and they built up an audience over several years of attendance. Individual indie island sellers ranged all over the place in terms of being able to attract buyers. Tim Hodler of Comics Comics later told me that he tried to keep people from being able to read his disappointment, if not slight dismay, over the direction of conversation during the journalism criticism panel. On behalf of everyone in comics, I'd like to invite Mr. Hodler to attend poker night anytime he wants. And then he says, this might be my favorite picture of the show, actually.
It was a great picture.
Yeah. And then he says, some of the pros like Alex Robinson, shown here, or Frank Santoro are getting good enough at the media game, they know that an interesting photo can be had by not looking at the camera.
I forgot that Frank was here.
Josh Cotter drawing in his notebook, which only got a little wet during a Saturday downpour. Remember the rain? Trying to get to the art auction?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Was that the white tuxedo?
It was, yeah. And then I love this line. If there was a book of the show, it probably came out from Gold Key in 1966.
The picture of Tim was a journalism. It was him, Carlton Hargrove, who at the time was working for the local Creative Loafing. And there was a couple other people on it. And the conversation, I think, Tom was probably moderating it. The conversation had shifted to something that was pretty, I think it was like in the superhero world more, and it was like, what are we going to do with Batman next? And it was something silly where Tim, who is covering like art comics, and yeah, it was before they took over the comics.
So it was just comics.
But it's basically the same thing. They just brought it to the Comics Journal. Like really scholarly
endeavors,
focus on,
yeah.
on, and really great writing. Comics was a very, very good blog. And the and so his consternation is really, and knowing him, he's a really sweet, interesting, curious guy, but just like this level of upset. I've been on a lot of panels in my time, and most panels are like that. It's like I've been asked to be on a panel. There, someone is talking. I might be the person on this. There's someone that's talking constantly. No one can get a word in edgewise. The moderator has no idea who I am or what I do. I'm being asked questions like, who are you? What do you do? Like that level. And so it's like that. Also, I'm missing. I'm not at my table. I'm not selling anything. And so that face to me is very, very, very funny.
It's one of my favorite photos.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
And then Tom says, as always, Bob Bierbaum endures, which Bob died last year, I believe.
Was it last year?
I think so, yeah. But, I mean, what a comics institution he was.
Yep.
So I just wanted to throw him in there, too. But that's me for 2008. I just love that year, just the memories it made.
I have a good story about 2008 that hopefully won't... I don't think it would... I won't even mention names. But there was a moment where several high-profile indie guys who I was really excited to have come to the show and was big fans of all three of them, walk up and one of them say, Dusty, you'll know, where's like a good strip club around here? And I said, why would you think that I know? But the Uptown Cabaret is just down the two blocks over. I mean, but if you live in Charlotte, that's like this, none of us hang out in this part of town, but you drive by the Uptown Cabaret. And they were like, great, see you later. And off they went. And they were excited. And to me, I mean, I don't really go to strip clubs. And the last time I went, it was like a bachelor party or something. I find them upsetting in the extreme. I would not, I'm not the sort of person that would say out loud, hey, where's it? You know where the local strip club is, right? Don't you? Great. I'm going to go over there right now. It's, to me, it was like very funny. And also, it was three of the people that we've mentioned that were having horrible sales. So I was like, I don't want to get in their way. They need to blow off some steam.
Right, exactly.
Oh, was that the year with the prostitutes as well? That was, I think that was like 2000. It was after I worked here. It was like,
okay.
There was a couple of ladies of the night at the Westin Bar. And a bunch of people were... Oh, it was, what's his name? Why did I just forget his name? From, he teaches at SCAD now.
Brian Ralph.
Brian Ralph was talking to these women. I was like, who are these women that Brian Ralph is talking to? And they were like really made up. And I was like, man, this guy can talk to anybody. Brian Ralph's a very good looking guy. And someone said, oh, those are prostitutes. And then Brian Ralph came over and said, I was talking to these girls. I was like, Brian, I think those are prostitutes. He's like, well, they're very nice girls. It was fun. They talked to all these nerds all night. And I was just like wondering what it was like for them to meet in the Westin, which is like a businessy, upscale hotel, a bunch of effing nerds.
Right.
Not paying them money. I don't know.
Might have bought some drinks for them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So another cool thing is... like American Barbarian.
Yeah.
So Tom Scioli put this piece of art in the art auction one year. I ended up winning it, and I kind of said, well, if I won it, then I got to publish this. Because he was all into web comics. I can't remember if he distributed it on the web or not, but we did the first print edition, then IDW came in and did the second. But, I mean, that's cool. That's a neat memory from Heroes Con in Indy Island.
I will say, even though... Pitzer and Chris were formative. They also are two of my favorite people to have gotten to know through coming to many, because you had been to two or three or four Heroes Cons while I was working there before Indie Island ever happened. And so we would just be a little more friendly each year, which is pleasant. Like when you see someone once a year, or maybe you see them at other shows.
It's like a family reunion.
It is pretty pleasant. And then we've gotten older over the years and we've lost people and lives have changed. And Chris retired from publishing comics.
Joe Lambert. So 2010.
I love that. That is a guy I miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's bringing his toes slowly back into
slowly getting back into comics.
Oh, yeah.
He's been making comics the whole time.
So this is a wonderful sketch he did for me. Look at this thing. He's riding puppies.
Joe Lambert. Here's a Joe Lambert story. So, and also a Richard Thompson story. Richard Thompson, who did Cul-de-sac. I don't know if you guys have ever read Cul-de-sac. It was like in the newspapers, newspaper strip. I think I could say without exaggeration, it is one of the greatest American comic strips ever. It's not like at Peanuts level, only because Peanuts is like the Picasso of newspaper comics, but he's an incredibly good artist, and I discovered him through Tom,
who posted him on the Comics Reporter. Report. Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, this is exactly how I want to draw. Basically, it was me looking at Richard Thompson's art. Emailed Richard Thompson immediately, like day one of looking at his stuff. Hi, would you be interested in being a guest at Heroes Con? And he emails me back immediately. He says, would you believe no one has ever asked me to set up one of those? I would love to. Can you? And I think we gave him like a hotel room or something. And I was like, oh my God. Joe Lambert and I went to Richard Thompson's table when he showed up, like two people trying to meet the Pope. Richard, where? This is Joe. I'm Dustin. We talked online. And Richard was very, 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 very funny, very nice guy, but very quiet guy. So he said, it's great to meet you. I'm sorry, what did you say? He said, it's great to meet you, Dustin Joe. And he gave us each, we were asking him about his nibs in a very nerdy, like, what pen is that way? And he gave us each one of his nibs, and we both, I mean, and the nibs were like as long as my middle fingernail. and we both walked away with them.
Artifacts.
Yeah.
I still have mine, but I have so many nibs that there's a chance that it's been exchanged with another one.
Oh, man.
So I'm always like,
you should have had it on the shelf there, yeah, with all the other little tchotchke things.
It's so, it was, Richard Thompson was an absolutely just a dreamboat of a person to meet and be incredibly nice. It's like exactly what you want from a person who whose work you like.
And if you don't know, down in the hall is Team Cul-de-Sac, right?
Right.
So you can go down there, purchase some items, support that organization in fundraising for
Parkinson's.
Parkinson's disease, yeah.
Which Richard died of.
Which Richard, yeah.
Six.
Oh, yeah, and that's what Drink and Draw is tonight. It's a fundraiser for the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please come out if you can. Rico Renzi.
Rico.
Rico.
Tom Scioli with a cigarette on his
pops. What? Did he drop it?
He dropped it on the ground and the cigarette got stuck.
Picked up a cigarette.
Yeah.
Where is that even?
That's the after party. Yeah. Old parking lot.
It's a rough part of town.
It is. JJ's Red Hots. Eating hot dogs.
Is that Greg Benton in that
picture?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He made his way.
He's been here as well.
Yeah, he made his way down. Yeah, I think he had a good time.
It's a great picture of Jim eating.
Yeah. It's like
chewing a hot dog.
Stop taking photos, Pitzer.
This picture I saw when you sent this around, I was like, well, we need to like step up the production quality.
It's action. It's action shot, man.
This is a blurriest picture.
Do you know what this photo is? Other than
Skelly.
Katie Skelly. What happened right before this photo?
Did you fart?
No.
You would think. Farted?
She had just met the Hernandez brothers. They walked over, introduced themselves, and she is flabbergasted.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So 2014.
This was it? It's DMC that was here, right?
That's, yeah. Right,
I'm not a big enough Run DMC fan to know which is Run and which is DMC, but it was DMC that was here, not Reverend Run. Daryl, I think.
That's right there in the.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses shirt.
Yeah.
Ed.
Oops, sorry. Yeah, over by I think the Penguin Isle Grill. There's that like ad house looking
you had
sign.
Ad house logo there.
Oh, it's always got to be about now. So yeah. That is Boris and Natasha, which is a run by Hope Nichols, who was in Fetchin' Bones, an 80s band that was actually had like videos in MTV, but she is a Charlotte institution. So you are in front of, oh, look at that pretty man with an ad house shirt.
I like it. Yeah. It's a photo of a photo of a photo of
and
a photo.
Then, it is photos of photos.
Good old Ben Sears. That's a. Oh, I guess I met him at SPX, actually. Who was that talking to Rico?
There we are. Cartoonist Kenny Fabe interviewing Tim Vigil in the room. Right beside my inflatable bed. It would have been to the right of Tim.
There's
so. It's a good story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Here's Tom Neely with his parents.
Oh, yeah, because his mom is from Greenville.
Yeah.
Or lives there anyway.
Yeah, lives in Greenville.
Which I didn't know. Yeah. Can I tell a Jaime story?
Yeah, tell a Jaime story.
The first year that they came, I was still working here, so it would have been like, it might have been that 2008 year. It might have been a year before that, though. I want to say that they were here earlier. But anyway, and I'd read his comics, and I read Gilbert's comics, and I was a big Jaime fan. And he came, and he was walking by the table. I was like, oh, Mr. Hernandez, I'm Dustin. We spoke a little bit online. If there's anything you need, et cetera, et cetera. And he's short, and he's very soft-spoken. He's very funny once you get him talking, but his face, I like to call it, this sounds bad, maybe I shouldn't say it. Ben Sears has the same kind of face. I call it a shitty face, where it's like a person that looks like they just do not like you. And when a person, for me personally, is a talker, a person is quiet and says only a few words and looks like they don't like me, I will fill all of that empty space with
even more
just
words.
Awkwardness.
Just garbage. Just like, ah, bah, 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 bah. And I was like, can I just ask you, just so I don't mess it up, is your name pronounced Jaime or Jaime or Hi? And he goes, and he says, it's Jaime. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't hear that. Can you just, it's Jaime. I'm sorry. Just one more time. And each time his face gets shittier. So now I'm like, the sweat is just like sliding down my face. And we ended up becoming friendly. But that first day, every time I would see him after that, I was just like, just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Just give him some water or something. Just be nice. Look at the Eminens, the two nicest people in comics.
I only put this image in. I mean, yeah, they're in, you know, would stay in Indie Island and all that stuff. But this is about the Palm Restaurant here in Charlotte. If no one's been, I highly recommend maybe going for lunch. I think it's $24.95, and you get like salad, soup, and maybe steak. But they have all this art that people have drawn. Shelton used to take, like, you know, George Tuska and other people over there, and they stand on the tables and draw on the walls.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing thing to see.
Shelt would take all the old people, especially the Murphy Andersons and Jewish Schwartz.
There was a Palm in New York City that was like right next to the Syndicate, so all the like cartoonists would gather there, and that's where it started. And then I guess they opened one here, and they brought the tradition down here.
Well, some of these things are printed on the wall.
Right. And then some are like
original, and then they and I want to say Irwin. There's a great photo somewhere of Irwin Hazen, who did like Dondi and some other stuff, drawing on the wall. He's a very short guy who would always have these like insane suits, like he was a Batman TV show villain or something. Like very bright, funny suits. It was a really cute picture.
Roy Thomas, getting ice cream.
Roy Thomas. Saturday only. Come on. He lives in Columbia.
I know, right?
Dude, he has a lot going on. This old Greg Steele.
This was the Ad House panel. So I think, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The
Ad House pulled a little higher than Indie Island.
He only wants the best.
I just had to like shut my business down. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. This is Jared. He did a huge, I mean, you can see a huge watercolor.
A large watercolor of the shop. This is when Jared was a little baby there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is baby like, Jared. This is now he's like beefcake. He's
super
like,
early.
Must be lifting weights or something.
Jared Cullum is a very nice, also very soft-spoken guy who would just kind of hang out. He'd be at the auction and be like, oh, I draw some.
We did mini comic. I did his mini comic, like his first stuff.
What did it look like?
It's nothing like this at all. It was very simple.
He basically turned into a full-ass watercolor.
Artist. Watercolor, amazing.
Like Alex Ross.
Artiste.
Actually, at the, he did another one.
It really was quick. Suddenly, he was like, I'm incredibly good at watercolor. Like, this is not long after I met him. This is maybe 2 years after I met him.
No, that was that quickly.
I thought I'd do a watercolor of the old Heroes location before it moved to where it is now. And Shelton's tickled pink. He loves stuff like that.
Go take a look at his piece behind his table now that he's got Superman Crypto painting.
Nice.
There's a...
I just like this photo. He's funny. He no longer comes to comic shows.
Does he not do any shows at all?
Well, I mean, like this weekend, he's at like a magic card show, I think.
Oh, that's right.
That's the similar.
That's where he makes his money.
Similar level of nerdiness there.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
That's good.
Is that Jim's? Is that Jim's Indie Island shirt?
It is.
Because he teased me about copying his idea when I did my Indie Island shirt.
Well, it's called an Indie Island, so
it's like not very many ways to go with that.
Are you leaving the panel now?
That's it. Right. Oh, geez.
Turn the table over. Or are you going to turn the lights on? What was it? There was some story I was going to tell. Oh, about Alexis. Have I told you the story? Who was on screen and we were talking about doesn't do comics anymore? Alexis Ziri?
Azuri.
I always struggle with how to say that second name.
I think I say it wrong, but that just flows off my tongue.
So Alexis is a very funny guy.
Yeah.
And very like, he's very like giggly. Like he'll tell a joke and then hee hee hee. But also he's got a very like strangely quiet wit. which I find very funny. And one day, after I didn't work here anymore, but I'm still very friendly with the show and with Shelton and with all the staff and everything, Doug Merkel was doing the shuttles going back and forth from the Westin to the shop. And I was like, do you need any help or anything? He's like, well, you could do some shuttle things, because I know a lot of the pros, and he, you know, I'm not going to like ask them for autographs or anything. So I did some shuttle runs, and I was taking one that was, I was driving back to the Westin, and in the car was Alexis and a friend of his that had traveled with him, whose name I forget, who also speaks Spanish, both of them. Alexis comes from Venezuela, and the other guy just spoke Spanish, and they were talking in Spanish. And the guy who's sitting next to me in the driver's seat or in the passenger seat, he says something to me who's driving. I'm just like, driving down 7th Street. And he says, you'd think that these people would learn to speak English. And I was like, I was coming up to a stoplight and nearly like overbraked. And I was like, what do you mean? I mean, I think that's, you know, it's, and I'm like, okay, I don't work here anymore. What territory can I, how harsh can I be with this guy? And he says another two or three things. I don't remember exactly what he says, but Alexis goes, excuse me? And he's like, I'm just saying, it would it kill you to speak English? And Alexis is like, I don't think I understood. And it's, and I'm also, now I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
All right, now what's going to happen? And Alexis is a big boy.
Yeah, look at him.
He is like an actual muscle man. And then it turns out the guy, he's like, oh, I'm just kidding. And it was Jose Garcia Lopez. Jose, what's his middle name? I'm missing
two.
Jose Garcia Lopez.
Lopez.
The DC guy.
The DC guy, and also like a Latino.
Oh yeah, he's from
absolutely one of the greatest like superhero comic artists of all time.
Yeah.
And the two, so Alexis and a friend are both like, oh my god, switch from I'm about to kill this old
right,
man.
Yeah.
And then afterward we get out and Alexis is like, can you take a picture of us? Instead of taking a picture. And man, my relief, and also I'm a fan of his as well. So I was like, oh, there's no room for me to be like, I also am a fan, Mr. Garcia Lopez. But it was such a relief of like, oh, I'm going to watch Alexis murder a person in front of me. That's going to be really hard to forget, you know, for the rest of my life.
So your little.
I was very happy about that.
I love that story. That's a good story.
Somewhere I've got pictures of just the one of the happiest, like, will you take our picture? Because all three of them are just dying laughing in the picture. What time is it? Should we do questions?
Anybody have any question specific? To Indy Island.
Yeah, does anyone have any questions?
Not that we'll have any
specific
answers.
To J. Chris
right.
Campbell?
Yeah, I've got no answers. Sorry. All right. So.
Okay. Thank you all for coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Question. Go ahead, Matt.
What was the deal with the tuxedos?
Oh, you mean at the art auction?
Oh, 1 year.
That was the art auction at the bar down the street.
That was at the Holiday Inn art auction. I hosted the art auction three times. Not because I am good at that, but I am a person that will get on stage and talk. And the second or third time I said, they're like, we don't have a host for it. And it's a lot of work. And back then it was a largish art auction, and since then it's become a absolutely insane art auction. And so I said, I'll do it, Shelton, if you let me rent a white tuxedo. And so I did, and I think Tom was there. Like he or Witt took that picture.
I think that was mine.
Oh, was that your picture?
Yeah.
That was Scott Campbell was there in 2008 as well, because there was a Scott Campbell print.
He did the print, right? Yeah, yeah.
What do you say?
I'm almost certain it was the bar.
Oh, you're right, because yeah.
And it was that rainy day.
My friend Savas owned the thing. It was a friend of mine that It always comes back to you and your wife.
Right.
Sick sex. Disgusting. Yeah, and so I hosted it in the in that white tuxedo. I think it was the last year I ever did that. It's too pretty. Hello, yeah, are you guys in here next? We're wrapping up, though. I'm just redlining Adam's microphone here, like screaming into it. Preston, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, you guys, all the years, the hard work and starting that. And yes, real kudos to Shelton Judas, the German, which I've seen over the years of all the different people he's employed as managers and store and everything. And I've always made an impression on me that he's just really always had an open mind and ready to listen to new ideas and implement a lot of the business.
I will say that, and we can wrap up with this maybe, a nice thing, I'll get emotional if I say I get emotional really easy if I say something nice about someone. It could be, yeah. I could say something nice about Eric maybe Trump.
Maybe say it sarcastically. Does that
help? Yeah.
Let me tell
put
you
a
about
spin
Shelton.
On.
No, a nice thing about Shelton, and I started working for him when I was 21, and worked for him for 14 years and ended up managing the shop during that time, and then Sean ended up managing after me. It's not an easy task managing a comic shop and running a staff and ordering comics, but also working, we all would work on the convention as well. And a nice thing about Shelton is that the whole time I was working here, and I don't know what the experience was like after I was gone, he let me do whatever I want in a lot of ways. And I was a weirdo in that I would just do, I'd be like, Shelton, we should have a website. Well, figure out how to make a website. All right, I'll figure out how to make a website. Well, we should, what if we did this Indiana thing? Okay. And that was, I haven't had that experience with other jobs I've had. And I've talked to him about it. I was like, this is a really nice thing that you do. Like, it is one of the ways to reward labor is to be like, if you take pride in something, because I took a lot of pride in, even though Heroes Com, working for Heroes Com is a real, really grinds you down because you're basically organizing a party. And when the party's over, you're like, wow, was that what I spent 9 months working on and like 60-hour weeks leading up to it? And that can be degrading because we're not saving lives. This is basically like people selling their Batman copyright ripoff material. I've got my own Batman riding a dinosaur print available at Table Indie Island, whatever my number is, 1869, something like that. But it's very, it was a great thing that he allowed this to happen, Indie Island to happen, lots of things like that, where it's like, I appreciate that you take pride in this thing, and because of that, I know it'll be run a certain way instead of like, you know, just like an afterthought. So that, a lot of kudos to him for that. That's a nice thing in a boss. Even though I quit eventually, forget it. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Yeah, that's it.
The next panel is going to be really good too. It's Danielle Corsetto and Craig Thompson talking about